Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the Department of International Incidents here at Car Talk Plaza.
I mean, and usually we try to avoid talking about politics. I mean, who are we? We're a couple of dumb mechanics. We don't even know anything about cars. And who would care what we think about national or international issues, right?
I second that.
But I'm afraid that we have to cross the line today because, I mean, we don't do this lightly. Whenever we make a kind of comment that is in the least bit political, we get all kinds of hate mail. We don't like hate mail.
You ain't kidding.
But you can't just stand by and watch something happen without saying your piece sometimes.
No, I know, I agree.
Especially when it's something of great import. And that's the case here. So this week, we are coming out publicly in support of the Portuguese.
Oh, okay.
Yes. The Portuguese Association of Friends of the Siesta. This is important news. I mean, you know the little things you read in the paper sometimes? This is an AP alert. Beep, 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 beep. The Portuguese Association of Friends of the Siesta is promoting naps as a defense against the pace of modern life. In Portugal, they're facing the issue of the pace of modern life.
Really?
What's with us?
Right.
If it's too fast-paced in Portugal, what are we doing here? We're a bunch of ADHD people. We're all hyperactive nutcases.
Hyperactive, hyperventilated.
Hyperventilated, and that's what's causing all our problems. We are strongly in favor of the siesta.
Oh, yeah.
Take a break in the middle of the day, no matter where you are. You're driving on the interstate, take a nap. That's my advice.
No, we're all working too hard to buy stuff that we don't need.
Exactly.
To keep the economy going so our 401k don't collapse.
What is a 401k?
Something that we don't have anymore because it collapsed.
See, if you had been napping.
It's a 301k now. Oh, yeah, man. If you had been napping, you wouldn't be worried about that.
Well, we keep coming back to this issue. Remember we were going to have a national slack-off day, lighten up.
Yeah.
Everyone is doing everything too, multitasking all the time. Everyone's trying to do too much. Lighten up.
Yeah.
When your boss says, be here at 7 o'clock in the morning, say, rave on. That's it. He fires you, he fires you. You can't believe how beautiful it is to be unemployed. I won't go to that. We don't have time for me to discuss unemployment.
Well, anyway.
You know, you get $400 a week on unemployment now.
I think you get more.
More than four?
Well, I think you could.
What are we doing here?
Anyway, if you have a question, don't worry. We won't be here long. If you have a question about your car or your siesta or anything else like unemployment benefits, don't hesitate to give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, Goombas.
Yeah.
Mike Savino from Sacramento.
Hey, Goomba. From where?
Sacramento, California, but formerly from Brooklyn.
Yeah, we knew that.
How
yeah.
Can you tell?
I wrote Sacramento, New York.
did they make a movie? I saw a movie where they put a guy from Brooklyn in the witness protection plan, and they made him a vintner. Out in California. Was that you?
I'm not going to tell.
He can't tell. Wasn't Steve Martin in that movie?
What's up, Mike?
I got a 1980 Chevy Suburban.
Mm.
It was shifting. It seemed to be shifting sort of late, like it wind up real tight. You know?
Yeah.
High RPM. So I brought it in to the transmission shop.
Good.
And the first thing the guy did, he said, okay, cut the engine, open the hood.
He adjusted the kickdown cable.
No, he reaches in for the fan, and he starts to move the fan by hand. He says, oh, I think this is a problem. We take it for a ride, and he says, oh, it's marginally late as far as it's shifting, but your problem is that your fan clutch is seized up.
Oh, so it's turning all the time.
Turning all the time, making a lot of noise.
So what you're hearing is, what you think is the thing winding out is excessive noise from the fan clutch.
Exactly. I was stunned.
And he figured that out just like that, huh?
Hey, not only that.
Wow.
He sends me on my way and didn't charge me anything. He could have taken me for $300.
What's this guy's name? I'm going to send it in right away. What is he, nuts?
I tell you, I felt like Socrates with the lamp looking for the honest transmission. And I found him. Yeah, so he sends me on my way. Then I went. So my problem is, I went to my mechanic Tony. I called up his wife. Answers the phone. She usually answers half the problems on the phone. Dell, and Dell tells me. I said, hey, do I really need to change the fan clutch? I don't care if it makes noise. It just is going to turn fast. It's going to keep the engine cool. That's great. She says, no, no. It'll put a strain on the water pump.
No.
So I want to know, do I really have to bother to change the fan?
No, back in the old days, in fact, if you had bought the 1970 version of this thing, they didn't have a fan clutch. Uh-huh. You just had a fan.
And the fan was turning all the time, just like yours is turning all the time.
And you had a fan stuck on the front of the water pump. So every revolution that the water pump made, the fan made a revolution.
Uh-huh.
And it turned all the time, and they put the fan clutch on to save a little gasoline.
Uh-huh.
They wanted to get you up from, like, 8.6 miles to gallon, to like 8.65.
That's right. I get about 9.
About 9. Yeah, that's good.
So it makes a difference. I should bother to do it. And this is something simple.
No, it does not make a difference. I don't understand why Tony's wife is concerned about this.
No, it doesn't make a difference. It's not going to put a strain on the water pump. It's not going to put a strain on anything except maybe your wallet. But you're already getting it. I mean, how much worse can it get? 9 no. miles a gallon.
Yeah.
You haven't noticed a precipitous drop in the mileage. How would you?
No. Isn't this something simple I could do at home?
Yes.
So maybe...
Drive the truck into the living room. No, the fan... there are four little bolts that hold the fan clutch onto the water pump, and then there are bolts that hold it onto the fan.
Right.
So you're going to extract the fan and the fan clutch as a unit and separate them and put the new fan clutch on and bolt it back up to the water pump.
Okay.
It's or forget about it.
Or forget about it. Don't mind the noise.
But we can tell that you're looking for something to do.
It sounds like a hurricane when it's winding up tight before a ship.
Well, wait, you just said, I don't mind the noise.
Yeah, in town.
But you lied.
Yeah, it's driving him nuts.
You lied, didn't you?
On the freeway, it bugs me. So what I do is I only drive into town.
Well, that's too bad because you get better mileage on the freeway.
You're not developing a twitch or anything, are you?
No. I have to turn up the radio louder.
This is a great vehicle, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a real workhorse.
Oh, yeah. That's
so what
great.
Do you do out there in Sacramento?
I work for the government, a state government. I give away the taxpayers' money to medical schools and schools of nursing.
Oh, aren't you nice?
So they could teach... nurse practitioners, physician assistants, and family practice residents.
Very good. Excellent. So do you get an opportunity to skim a little off the top?
No.
How about off the bottom?
That's in Brooklyn.
Middle?
To California, we straighten out.
All right.
Yeah. Hey, Mike, thanks for calling, and good luck with your fan clutch.
Thanks, guys.
See you later.
Bye-bye. 1-888.
What do you mean, can you skim any off the top? That's not a valid question. I mean, first of all, would he give you the answer?
maybe by mistake he would.
If it was Boston, he'd say, of course, doesn't everybody? It's pretty sad.
It is indeed. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. A lawyer on Car Talk.
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
This is Peggy. How are you guys?
Pretty good, Peggy. How are you?
Well, I was fine until I got on this phone. Listen, I got to make this fast.
Yeah, us
about
too.
About 400 years ago, I was driving through the Arizona desert, and I heard you two maniacs terrorizing your listeners.
You did.
And I heard you talking about how to keep a car body paint job looking as new as when it left the showroom. Well, lo and behold, I've got a brand new Honda Accord, and it is snowflake white with a nighttime shine. And you said you put some kerosene into water, and that's how you wash it. So I did it.
You didn't hear
that. Wait a minute, Peggy. You never heard us say that. I never heard such a ridiculous idea in my life.
Come on. I heard you guys say that. You said it was your grandmother's recipe.
We don't even have a grandmother. We were raised by wolves.
Kerosene and water?
Yeah.
I think it was Murphy's oil soap.
No, it wasn't. It was kerosene and water.
Wait a minute.
What I want to know is what is the recipe?
Where are you from?
I was from Arizona then, but now I live in Yonkers.
Yonkers.
Yonkers. What do you do now to keep your car looking great? Sell it?
I spit and polish a lot.
Well, I have to say, I mean, if this mystery treatment works, I can't, certainly cannot take credit for it because I never heard of such a thing in my life.
But I heard it on your program.
You did,
well,
huh?
You may have heard it, but not from us. Yeah. You may have heard it from one of our harebrained callers.
Yeah, oh, that may be. It may be that one of our callers suggested it, but I certainly, I know my brother would never have said anything that stupid. On second thought.
So you have used this, what would we call it?
I couldn't get through to you guys to get the recipe, so I just did it. This might blow you away. I did it anyway. I just went glug, glug, glug in the water, and I must say the car looks absolutely gorgeous. So I'm in the elevator. I'm smelling of kerosene. My hands are filthy. In the elevator is a lady in a fur coat. And she says, my goodness, what have you been doing? Because I don't look like I belong to this building, right? And I said, well, I heard these two crazy guys on a car talk show years ago say that the way to wash a car is to put kerosene in water, and it will keep the paint job as new as when it left the showroom floor. And she says to me, you won't believe this, but my family owned 13 car dealerships in the New York area, and my grandmother has always said this.
Did you ask her what the formula was?
No, she didn't know it either. And I said, well, don't worry, because I've got to call into these guys, and they know everything.
Okay, so let me get this right. You take a 2 or 3 gallon bucket, you fill it up with water, and how many glugs of kerosene do you put? Glug, 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 glug?
Four, but I don't know how many you're supposed to.
Four glugs works for you. I'm going to try it myself.
Yeah.
but to finish it off, what if I put my pet cricket on the hood and it rubs its legs together? Will the car self-ignite?
Yes, it probably will.
It will.
And I don't think it'll be much of a loss.
I
mean, how long have you had the cricket?
I don't think it will self-ignite.
No, it probably will not self-ignite. But I am certainly going to try this on a small portion of my 63 Dodge Dart convertible.
That paint job is already oxidized.
Oh, that's already
out.
Well, maybe it'll bring it back.
I doubt it.
It has the original paint.
Yes, we noticed. Oh. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Peggy, thanks for calling, and I will definitely try it. And if someone knows the actual formula, perhaps he or she can give us
enlighten us.
Give us a call and let us know what
thanks
it is.
Thanks for your call, Peggy.
Okay, well, listen, thank you guys, and let me know.
Okay.
Don't worry. Stay tuned. We'll have an answer for you within a few weeks.
So far, it's 3 gallons of water and 4 glugs.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks,
okay.
Peggy.
How big is a glug?
Goodbye.
Bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Scott from Clown Falls, Oregon.
Hi, Scott.
How you doing?
What's going on, man?
Oh, man, I got a 1986 Nissan pickup with 172,000 miles on it that won't turn over.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, when I turn the key, all the lights come on, the dash, dome, radio, everything works, but the engine doesn't make a sound. It doesn't even make a click as far as I can hear, and it acts like the neutral safety switch is bad. That I hotwired that 100,000 miles ago. So that ain't it.
And
are you 100% sure the battery is okay?
Yeah, I had my friend Fat Tony come over and check the battery.
Fat Tony?
Fat Tony. He brought over his big bucket of tools.
Yeah.
And he had a battery tester. We tested that, and we cleaned the connections. And actually, he leaned in with a crescent wrench and arced between the two poles, and he said, hey, it ain't the battery.
That's a good way to burn off your eyebrows, by the way.
That's a great test.
Yeah.
Don't ever stand near Fat Tony.
He might be Fat Fried Tony.
No, I mean, seriously, you can blow up the battery doing that.
Well, I don't think he meant to do it.
Oh.
It was an accident.
Oh, it was an accident. Yeah, well, that's
yeah.
But if
and,
you tried to start this thing by, for example, rolling it down a hill, will it start if you do that?
Yes, I could do that. I got it started by compression starting.
Okay, that's good. The engine's not seized.
It could be that you need a starter motor, and it's that simple.
Well, that's what Fat Tony keeps saying.
Well, what kind of tools does Fat Tony have? Does he have an ammeter?
He comes in with a hammer, a crescent wrench, and something I've seen in a logging museum.
And ads.
Well, what you could do is you could jump the starter motor. If you go look at the starter motor, there are two wires on the starter, basically. Some starters have more than two, but yours are going to have two. There's a big fat one, which comes from the battery, and then there's a skinny one that is connected to what's called the solenoid, and that comes from the key. And you could find out if that wire, if you had something called a test light, which you can buy at Sears for like $4.99.
All right.
You could unplug that wire from the starter, stick the probe into the end of that wire, not on the starter motor, but into the end of that wire, and then ground the other end at the negative terminal of the battery, right?
Okay.
Have Fat Tony turn the key
to the start position.
To the start position, and that light, if it lights up, is telling you that your solenoid is getting energized and your starter motor is no good.
All right.
It means electricity is getting to the starter, but the starter is, as we say in the trade, schwavoted.
Well, there is the possibility that one of several other things has happened. The wire that runs from the battery to the starter is making a bad connection, and you can check also that with your test light.
All right.
Or you might not have a ground connection. So you might just take a jumper cable, you know, what you'd use to jumpstart the thing, hook it to the engine block, and hook the other end to the negative terminal of the battery and see if that starts it.
Okay.
And one of those tests is going to tell you what's wrong. And my guess is it's the starter.
My guess is it's the starter also.
And the other problem is I can't keep Fat Tony away from my truck. He keeps showing up with his big bucket of tools.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
He's in love with the truck.
Well,
no, I know what Fat Tony wants to do. He wants to pull the engine out.
That's exactly what he wants to do.
Yeah. Don't call Fat Tony anymore.
Take him to Domino's Pizza and leave him there. Good luck, Scott.
All right, thank you.
Bye.
See you later.
Okay, Tommy, do you remember last week's puzzler?
Do I remember last week's
puzzler?
Do I remember last week's puzzler?
No, nothing, huh?
Not
like,
a bit.
Complete silks, right?
Absolutely nothing.
Well, it's about someone named Billy Bob Beaumont and a little gas problem that he's having, and we'll have the entire story in just a minute.
I'm looking forward to it. And even though Terry Gross fishes that brochure for auctioneer's school out of the trash whenever she hears us say it, this is NPR.
We'd like to thank NatureBox, one of the sponsors of this podcast, both for supporting Car Talk and for reigning in the burgeoning midriff of mechanics everywhere. They want you to know that NatureBox ships tasty and guilt-free snacks right to your door with over 100 flavors to choose from, like Asiago and cheddar cheese crisps, pistachio power clusters, and Big Island Pineapple. What? No transmission fluid flavor snacks yet, guys? They're all made with zero artificial flavors, colors, or sweeteners, 0 grams trans fats, and no high fructose corn syrup. Try NatureBox for free by going to naturebox.com/cartalk. That's naturebox.com/cartalk. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here, of course, to talk about cars, car repair, and first and foremost, the answer to last week's puzzler.
But first, the question.
There you go. This little beauty came to us, I don't know, email, snail mail, I forget, from someone named William Morrison from Midland, Michigan, and here it is.
Yeah, I can hardly wait. I remember when you said this last week, you mentioned his name because I thought of my classmate Bill Morrison, who has done all the artwork
but I like
for
that
website.
I like that. I can hardly wait. Such enthusiasm, such excitement.
I can hardly wait. Because
how long do you think you could hardly wait? I mean, if it were like 5 minutes, could you hardly wait 5 minutes? How about a week? Could you hardly wait a week?
I have waited a week.
Every morning on his way to work, Billy Bob Beaumont stops at the corner gas station and spends 25 cents for gas.
That puzzler! That was good.
Well, it remains to be seen. On his way home from work, he stops at the same gas station and again spends 25 cents for gas. He continues this pattern for months. The amount he spends never varies, nor does the twice-a-day schedule.
Yeah, man.
Oh, this thing is rife with hints, right?
It is. I mean, always in retrospect, you say, aha!
Aha!
That's what that meant.
Finally, the attendant who has observed Billy Bob's routine says, you know, if you spent about $10 on a repair, you wouldn't have to stop here so often, or maybe even at all. The question is, what simple repair does the attendant have in mind? And the excellent hint is that it has nothing to do with the fuel system.
Oh!
Now, there are lots of potential answers to this.
There are.
Well, I suppose so. I mean, you could say, well, you know, he was buying gasoline and he had his thing was running so badly that he had to adjust the carburetor or anything. But there was only one elegant answer.
Oh, and it is elegant. It is.
That the gas he's buying is not gasoline, but he is buying gas, which is air for his tires, or a tire that has a leak.
And that's why it's always 25
cents. 25
cents
in the machine. The thing goes ding, ding, ding. He fills up his tire. Off he goes because he buys his gasoline someplace else.
Does it say ding-a-ling?
Ding-a-ling. And then, of course, the tire is flat after his day at work. He stops at the same filling station again.
Yeah.
Inserts another quarter, 25 cents worth of gas. So some may go boo-woo, hiss-hiss, et cetera, but
as we all did when you told us the answer.
Yeah.
But in retrospect, I have to say, it's brilliant.
Well, if you think that one was bad, what did you hear this week's?
Because a puzzler, this should be a puzzler. It should be puzzling.
Indeed. All right, who's our winner this week?
Our winner is Elise DeSmet. Oh, come on. Who are all these people with names that I can't pronounce?
Here's what you do from now on. Her name is Alice Smith. Try it.
Alice DeSmet. Alice DeSmet, when she spells it A-L-L-I-S-E for Alice,
yeah,
which is, that's okay.
It's perfectly acceptable.
If that's what she wants to do, fine. And DeSmet, she spells D-E. S-M-E-T. She's from Amherst, New Hampshire. And for having her correct answer chosen from among the thousands of correct answers that we got this week, Elise or Alice will get a $25 gift certificate to the Car Talk Shameless Commerce Division, where she can get all kinds of wonderful Car Talk stuff, T-shirts, CDs. Actually, I shouldn't use the plural. With $25, she's only going to get singular.
That's for sure.
Unless she's got about five of these.
Anyway, we'll have a brand new matchstick puzzler.
Oh, the matchstick series.
So get 16 matchsticks ready, and we'll be back with that puzzler in the third half of the show. So stay tuned. In the meantime, if you have a question about your car or anything else, give us a call.
I don't think we should take any more calls because don't forget the Portuguese Association for the Siesta.
Is it now?
We might want to just take a little break and snooze off.
I'm with you, man.
Some people might say that's what we're doing anyway.
888-227-8255, which also spells 888-BAS-VUL. Lawyer on Car Talk.
I knew that. Hello.
Hi, this is Gillian from Cambridge.
Gillian with a J?
Gillian with a G.
Oh, Gillian. From Cambridge, England?
Cambridge, Massachusetts.
Our fair city.
Our very fair city.
Central Square.
Central Square is where it's at.
That's right.
It is. I was in the Middle East restaurant the other day having supper, and wow, what a place, huh?
Yeah, what were you having?
I had everything on the menu. I couldn't decide, so I ordered one of everything.
Really?
It was awesome.
With all this traveling that you do about the city, do you miss your wife's cooking?
Every chance I get. So, Gillian, what's up?
Well, I actually need some help with my work.
Yeah, we can do that.
Okay, I'm trying to translate a phrase from French, and I was only able to get a definition in French, but it refers to part of a heavy truck.
Uh-huh.
Part of a heavy truck.
Yes.
Yeah, I won't even ask you what kind of work you do.
Un grand camion.
Yeah.
Well, the document had to do with retreading heavy truck tires.
Yeah, okay. I'm fluent in all languages, including Serbo-Croatian. So, go ahead.
Okay, well, the French term is train avant.
So you have to spell. I don't speak French.
It's train, like train, T-R-A-I-N.
Yeah.
And avant is A-V-A-N-T.
Right. Yeah. Avant.
Avant.
Yeah, oui.
It's two words or one?
Two words,
yeah.
And according to the Petit Larousse French Dictionary, it means the group of elements which on modern vehicles replaces the front axle.
Ah, okay.
So, what I need to know is, what would that be?
Oh, très avant. Oui. Oh, mademoiselle.
It is simple. Or simple.
Oh, très avant is clearly it's the steering mechanism. It's the axle. It's the right. It's the front end.
The front end.
It's the front end.
End.
Yes.
Yeah. We would call it the. That's the what would be the English expression, The front end.
And that is all. That is known as the front end. And it's all the pieces that are responsible for the front suspension and the steering of the car. The springs, the shocks, the ball joints, the tie rod ends, et cetera, et cetera. Is that it?
That's it. That's amazing. You mean that's it? After that whole complicated definition, it's the front end.
The front end, which is exactly what it literally translates as, right?
Well, no. What does trans? What does?
Right.
Well, I'm not sure.
Are you fluent in French?
Obviously not.
Oh. Oh, so you're doing this word by word.
Well, no.
No,
actually,
she's fluent. Of course she's fluent.
With the exception of arcane technical terms, yes.
Yeah. I mean, can you give us the sentence just so we'll make sure that it really makes sense?
The sentence?
What's the rest of the sentence, the context in which this expression?
Well, this is some conditions.
But you're working for, like, the CIA. I mean, you don't have to tell us what you're doing.
You know who used to do work like this?
What? I'm sorry?
3 Days of the Condor. Did you see that movie?
Yes.
No.
Rent that. Go to your video store. It's a great movie.
Mike, what's his name? Robert Redford. Did exactly...
How could you sit there and look at me and forget the name Robert Redford?
Bela Lugosi came to mind right away. No, he did the same. He worked for a little company in which he would translate arcane documents about things that were completely irrelevant to anything, like cars and trucks.
And what they were looking for was spy information.
Yeah.
Inside information that was being sent through ordinary literature.
Yeah.
through non-diplomatic channels. And so the spies were communicating with their mother country, etc.
Yeah.
Via ordinary publications, like things about front ends of heavy trucks. And he goes out for bagels one day, and he comes back, and the whole place has been eradicated. Everyone's dead. Except for him.
Yeah.
So now you're going to go out and rent it. It is a great movie. Robert Redford, Faye Dunaway, Cliff Robertson. Who directed that?
I think it was Frank Capra. He's the only one I know.
Well, you should hear the sentence because you'll understand it.
We're dying to hear it.
It says, the retreading of each new tread depends heavily on the professionalism initiated by the reseller. That'd be the shop.
Yeah.
In service of the using customer in the diagnosis of mechanical defects susceptible to damaging the tire, the alignment of the front end, etc. And I figured you'd sympathize with the professionalism of the...
So it's the alignment of the train avant?
Yes.
Oh, that's perfect! It's absolutely perfect, Gillian! It fits perfectly, the alignment of the front end!
And now I know 3 words in French. Thanks for your call. I hope we helped.
Thanks.
See you later. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is John Setliff in Seattle.
Hi, John.
Yeah.
Seattle.
Mm. I have an 81 Honda Civic wagon.
81 Civic wagon.
It runs perfectly, but I got myself into a predicament, and I'd like to know how to get out of it next time it happens.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
I left my apartment. I was on my way. I was kind of in a hurry. Went down to the car, unlocked it, got in, started the engine.
I know you did.
And decided that the windshield's too dirty, and I grabbed the squeegee.
Yeah.
I slammed the door, and at that moment, I realized I locked myself out of the car, and I was locked out of my apartment with the engine running.
Yeah.
And I decided to kill the engine while trying to get a key from the landlord or somebody. So the question is, what would be the best way to stop the engine if you're locked out of the car? And I can tell you how I did it if you want.
Well, I know how I would do it because you couldn't open the hood. Because,
well, you know, you did not open the hood before you got out. You had no reason to do that.
Right.
You'd plug up the tailpipe. That's what I would do, assuming that you had a muffler on the car still.
Is that safe? It won't blow anything out?
All right. The way that you asked that indicates to me that you did something really wacko.
I know what you did.
It was rather wacko.
Let me see if I can guess what you did.
You were going to get the hose, is that what you said?
No, I was going to get the squeegee wet at the water faucet.
At the water
which
faucet.
Had no hose attached.
It had no hose attached, and you, what you did,
so you got out of the car,
didn't involve water.
Didn't involve water.
Well, maybe it
did. Did it involve lying down?
It did.
You nut.
you got underneath the car, you reached up and you yanked off the coil wire.
No. That's close.
I don't think you could do that.
Spark plug wires.
Yes, and I had to take all four of them off before the engine would stop.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. How many shocks did you get?
Three or so.
How many times did you bang your forehead on the front bumper?
Oh, that too.
Just on the first, on the first one, right?
Boy. If my heart had stopped, it could have been restarted like that.
No, I knew you had done something crazy like that. When my brother said I would plug up the tailpipe, I could see in your brain saying, why the hell didn't I think of that? Yeah, because if you plug up the tailpipe, then the engine can no longer breathe because there's no air that can come in because there's no stuff coming out. And it'll stop almost immediately.
Oh, okay. I didn't even think of that.
Well, remember the old potato up the tailpipe trick.
Right.
Yeah, so that's the basis of it.
Yeah, that's what I was into the Latin teacher in high school.
Yeah, I mean, you did was effective. But, wow.
That's stupid.
No, I mean, the fact that you thought of it and figured out how to, and managed to do it, in fact, was commendable,
right. The thing that stupefies me is that after you got the first shock, you went back to get another and another.
And weren't you surprised that that thing ran on one cylinder?
Actually, after the second one, it becomes kind of a pleasure.
Oh, yeah. You have to enjoy it.
I'm going
to
go back for more shock. Yeah, so next time it happens, you just don't put your hand over the tailpipe because that stuff coming out is hot. But if you had a rag or a jacket that you had just wrecked by lying down under the car, you could stuff that against the tailpipe. And assuming, of course, that the exhaust system doesn't have a bunch of holes in it, that will stall the engine.
Right. If you have one major leak in the exhaust system, then that technique
that
won't work.
You've
got to resort.
It won't build up pressure in the exhaust system and blow something out.
Oh no. No. I mean that system can take it.
Because it will stall before it has a chance to do that.
Oh, okay.
Now, the first thing you should do is go out and buy yourself one of those hide-a-key things.
Right.
I would have, I mean, if the tailpipe thing didn't work, I suppose I would have done the same thing. I would have gone for the coil wire.
See, now,
that would have given you just one jolt, and that would have killed everything.
Okay.
The next time, go for the coil wire.
Okay.
Good luck, John. Thanks for
calling. Okay, thanks a lot.
Thanks for your call.
Bye.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name is Christine, and I'm calling from Raleigh, North Carolina.
What's up?
Okay, here's the story. My husband and I bought a Dodge Caravan that had like 140,000 miles on it about 9 or 10 months ago.
Do you have kids?
Yeah. We were just starting our family, you know, so we thought it would be a wise decision.
Sure.
So, you know, we've had the transmission rebuilt. It's died several times and had to have work on it. Well, now the air conditioning is doing something kind of weird. It blows out just like you've got the vent on, even though it's got the air conditioning on. So there's plenty of air blowing out, but it's not cold. So I thought, you know, no-brainer, it needs Freon.
Mm.
But the other day, my husband was driving. I was in the back seat with the baby, and I noticed that, you know how there's like a separate air in the back sometimes, and you have...
That was cold.
Exactly.
Good. That's excellent.
Oh, good.
Yeah, that's good luck.
You are in Fat City.
Now, you might think that there are two air conditioning systems, one for the front and one for the back.
Hmm.
But there is one compressor.
Okay.
And if the back is getting ice cold, then the compressor is working. It's just that the controls in the front are somehow messed up so that you're not getting the conditioned air.
Right. The cold air is not getting into the passenger compartment in the front.
Mm.
But there is cold air, which means there is enough Freon. And the compressor is working.
Oh, that's great. So it's more like an interface problem.
Right. So you need to put that seat all the way back.
So you can drive from the middle row.
You know, and lean it, hang your head back. If you're lucky, this is a vacuum problem.
Mm.
Because those controls are operated by vacuum.
Okay.
And so one of the... Yeah, he thinks so, too. And one of those doors is not opening or closing. And so you're
there are doors underneath the dashboard there.
Oh, okay.
And they open and close depending on what you got set for. And the way it's set now, the hot air is coming in, but the cold air isn't.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it does make sense. And if you're lucky, they won't discover when you take it in that you need the transmission rebuilt again.
Really? Oh, you guys are great. You've made my day.
Good luck.
Thanks a lot.
See you, Christine.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, look, we're at that point of the show again. You know that point?
Is this where the NPR higher-ups parade two real mechanics by our studio and glare at us threateningly? Is that it?
No, this is where we take a break to prepare for the new puzzler.
Ah, it's good. We'll be back in just a minute.
A lady had a Volvo, motor car in town. Just so suddenly, it ding break dance. She send and call for James E, the mechanic man. He walk in with the toolbox in his hand. And when he check the compression, James E start a ball. Lady, you need a complete overhaul. Your glass line plug up and your piston loose. And your carburetor ain't getting no juice. Your backseat bent up and your headlight low. And your oil pump ain't pumping no more.
And even though Javanese hot coal walkers wince in pain whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
We'd like to take time to thank one of the sponsors of this podcast, Tire Rack. At TireRack.com, you can view their test results, user ratings, and reviews to help you select the right tires for your car. TireRack.com has over a million tires in their warehouse, so you'll never get talked into compromise like I did when I came home with four bicycle tires on my 97 Honda Odyssey. At TireRack, when you find the right tires, they can be delivered to a local recommended installer in as little as one business day. TireRack.com. Find, deliver, install. We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss, of course, cars.
Yes.
Car repairs.
Yes.
And the new Puzzler.
I can hardly wait.
Well, this is from the Matchstick series. Okay, so I think I had mentioned about 2 hours ago in the first half of the show that you should go out and get yourself like 16.
That was several halves ago.
Several halves ago.
Yeah.
Like 16 matchsticks.
Okay, I got them.
And you're going to use the matchsticks to make the following. One, which is one matchstick, and then you're going to use two matchsticks to make a plus sign.
Plus
a two.
Two.
Which is two matchsticks adjacent to each other.
Yeah.
Like Roman numeral style.
Roman numeral two.
Plus Roman numeral three.
Plus Roman numeral three.
Plus Roman numeral four, which is not the IV, but 1111.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
They used to use that in certain parts of Rome.
Clocks.
Clocks. 4 3 7 2 is 9, 10,
right.
12, 14, 16.
16 matches. And if you add this up, 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4, it adds up to 10.
Yes, it does.
Okay. Now, you can imagine if you removed one matchstick, you could easily make this sum equal to 4. You could say 1 plus 2 minus 3 plus 4 equals 4. The question is, can you move one matchstick, not remove, but move one matchstick and still use them all and make that equal to 4? And if you think you know the answer, write it on a postcard or attach it to a queen-size Thomas Mosier sleigh bed in solid American black cherry with knife-cut headboard, mortise and tenon joint framery, and a hand-rubbed linseed oil finish.
Or the back of a $20 bill.
And deliver it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Massachusetts 02238.
And what if I didn't want to do that?
Well, if you don't want to do that, you can email your answer to us from cartalk.com. If you want to talk to us right now, the number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
This is Sissy in Washington, D.C.
What's on your mind, Sissy?
Well, I have two questions, actually. The first is sort of a technical one. When parking the car, my husband has said to always straighten out the wheels, that if you leave a car parked and the wheels aren't lined up, you know, straight with the chassis of the automobile, that the wheels will go out of alignment more quickly.
Oof.
I've never heard of that before.
Ooh, I like it, though, don't you?
I do. I like it. This may qualify
for the great book, unyielding truth.
For the book on old wives' tales.
Okay, well, that's one.
All right.
Well, give us the other one. We'll see which one we can manage to attack first here.
All right. The second one is we have an 86 Volkswagen Jetta, and a couple of days ago when I was driving it, the wheel locked when I was trying to make a right turn.
Steering wheel?
Steering wheel absolutely locked.
Ooh.
And I was able to back up the car, and then the car would turn fine. I went into our drive, and it locked again, and so I was parking. So I took the car to the auto repair place. They had it all day, couldn't find a thing wrong with it, drove it all over town. I brought it home, and the wheel locked. again.
They couldn't get it to happen?
They couldn't get it to happen. It happened in reverse this time, and because I was in our parking area, I was able to get out and see that the wheels had locked absolutely straight, facing forward.
And you could not turn the steering wheel at all?
I couldn't turn it to the right. I could turn it back to the left. It only is to the right.
Oh.
This has happened.
Oh. And is that the same thing that happened before?
Uh-huh.
You can only turn it to the left and not to the right?
Yes, that's exactly right.
So all times that it has locked, this is what it's done?
Yes.
Oh, that's interesting. That's not really locking.
My guess is something is interfering with the movement of the rack and pinion.
Exactly. That's exactly what I think it is. And that, never in the history of this radio show have my brother and I agreed.
Well, let's not... we're in agreement about that.
Rack and pinion.
Well, yeah. I mean, it could well be that you have... The rack and pinion might be loose. You might have a broken tooth. You might need a calf.
No, you might
need a root canal.
Yeah, no. You could easily have something broken inside the rack.
Exactly.
You could have something that's interfering with the motion of the steering column, because the steering column connects to your wheel at one end and it connects to the rack and pinion at the other end. There could be something that's binding it up.
Let me just tell you, Sissy, I would not drive this car if I were you.
No, take it back to them and leave it. With
Don't even take it. Have it towed there.
Really?
Well, make
Absolutely.
Sure if you do take it, you take all lefts.
Take all lefts. No, I mean, you never know when that semi is going to be approaching you from the left, and you're going to want to swerve to the right, and this silly thing won't go. If I were to look at something, I would look at the rack.
All right.
When it locks, is it absolutely locked like it does when you have the key out of the ignition? You know how that feels?
That's exactly what it did.
Yeah.
Yes. It wouldn't go. It just absolutely wouldn't turn.
I'm disappointed in these guys that they allowed you to take the car back after you told them what had happened. I mean, they shouldn't have allowed you to drive this car, even though they couldn't find it. The fact that you said it happened, they evidently didn't believe
you. That was sufficient justification for them to take the whole thing apart until they found out the problem.
Absolutely. I mean, I would worry about them.
Well, I won't take it back there.
Well, take it someplace else. Take it to another Volkswagen dealership, but make sure you impress upon them the fact that you will not pick up the car unless they are certain and they can reassure you that they have solved the problem.
Yeah.
Yes.
You'll never... In fact, I wouldn't even bother. Trade it in.
Sell it.
Time for a new car.
Yeah, you'll never be able to drive this car without being completely, you'll never be able to be completely satisfied that they fixed it.
Unless they, in fact, tell you, we found exactly what the Bimbo brothers said they would find. We found a broken tooth on the rack, and it was interfering with the motion, and they show you the broken piece. Then I think you can fairly well drive it and be safe.
Yeah, right. Maybe.
Now, as to your husband's issue.
Yes.
He's nuts. And we agree on that, too.
That's 100%.
Because I was ready to go to San Francisco and open a wheel alignment shop.
Right. They're all turned to the curb.
Right.
It is interesting how many old wives' tales there are. And it would be, I guess, my next PhD, I guess I will study the origins of old wives' tales. I mean... I wonder who could have told this to your husband. And what's wonderful about old wives' tales, and by the way,
they have a grain of believability.
Always. There's always something in them that says, sounds good. It could be right. But this one, he's nuts.
Yeah.
All right.
See you, Sissy.
Good luck.
Thank you very much.
And don't drive it there. Tow it.
We will.
Bye bye.
All right. Goodbye.
Thanks. Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Greg.
Hi, Greg.
Greg, where's you from, man?
Let me check. I'm on the road. Pottsville, Pennsylvania.
Oh, you had to look at a sign?
I had to look on the phone in the hotel room here.
Hopsville?
Pottsville.
Oh, Pottsville.
Pottsville.
Oh, yeah? What are you doing? Are you a salesperson?
No, I'm with the circus.
You're with the circus?
Yes, the Clyde Beatty Cole Brothers Circus.
No kidding.
I'm not kidding.
Are you a lion tamer?
No, I'm actually a clown.
You're a clown?
With the circus, yes.
Wow. And so there's no show going on right now, I presume.
That would be a correct presumption, yes.
Yeah.
And you're not in uniform, so to speak.
Actually, I am. I just came from doing a promotional gig for the circus.
Ah.
And I've got my costume on, but I don't have clown makeup. I don't wear that.
Oh, you don't?
I remember one day, Tommy and I were doing something. I think we had been invited to read the little engine that could.
I remember that so well.
And we went to a costume place, and they asked if we could, you know, get a clown nose and whatever. So while we were there, we had a little fun. And I get the wig.
Right.
So I get the
orange.
Wig. The orange wig.
Bright orange?
Bright orange. And I get the clown nose, and I put them on. We're having a good laugh, and I rent the stuff, and I forget that I'm wearing it.
And, you know, that's easy to do.
Yeah, and so we leave the place, and I'm driving home, and I guess I must have ticked somebody off. I didn't go fast enough when a light turned green, or I must have cut somebody off. And this guy who I had injured, so to speak, pulls up next to me, and without even thinking, he opens his door, and he says, "What are you, some kind of a clown?" And we kill ourselves laughing. He doesn't crack a smile. Boy, some people just take their driving way too seriously.
Way too seriously, yeah.
Anyway, Greg, what's going on?
Well, this does not involve serious driving. It involves looking for some advice on what kind of car that we can get 12 clowns into.
Oh. I know what it is. I got it.
What, are you a relative of ours?
I got it. The Mini,
who else
the
would
Mini
know
Cooper.
11 clowns.
No, it's not one of your family reunions.
It's not. You want to fit 12? I mean,
well,
it's,
about
it's...
12. I mean, it can vary a little, but we want to get a good number, maybe a dozen clowns or so, into a car. We're looking for advice on what kind of car and some ideas on how to modify it. The comedy there is the contrast.
Of course.
A lot of clowns.
And it usually happens, it used to happen with a VW Beetle, right?
That was one idea that we had, yeah. And we're also looking at the Mini Cooper, I think it is.
I like the Mini, but boy, you're going to be hard-pressed to get any of you obese?
No, but I mean, how do you do it anyway? I mean, I've always been amazed when I saw all those clowns coming out of the little car.
Well, it's a bit of some contortionist skills, yeah, and taking everything out of the vehicle that's not necessary to get it to go
right.
200 feet. We had to take everything out, including the Edelbrock manifold and the Aberth exhaust system, all that stuff.
Oh, okay. In which case, what you want to do, I guess, is have a vehicle that has a trunk. So now if you take out the back seat and the back of the back seat,
yeah,
you now have a bunch of people in the trunk.
Yeah, we could put the short people in there.
Right. This is how we used to sneak people into the drive-in. I should have mentioned that. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you had a trunk, now what would be the idea?
Well, the VW has a trunk.
And the one thing that's nice about the VW is it has that very tall roof. There's a lot of headroom in that car.
Yes, and we could tint the windows so people can't see that we're all piled on top of each other.
And does the driver's seat actually have to be in it? No.
No, I mean, really, you could just have it pushed out.
You could just push it out.
In the center ring, yeah.
So we take out all the seats, front and rear, and we make the trunk accessible from the back of seat.
Yeah.
I think you could easily put 12.
Well, you know, I'd like to see you try the Mini Cooper, because I think that would be more dramatic. I mean, the Volkswagen.
The only trouble I have with the Mini Cooper is it doesn't have a trunk.
Oh.
And the space behind the rear seat doesn't afford you much hidden space, because it's a very short distance.
Uh-huh.
It's tall.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever thought of using midgets?
Well, yeah.
Yeah,
but
that's no trick. I mean, you're going to have...
Well, next to the car, they're going to look normal.
Oh, they are.
Oh, that's right, because the Mini Cooper's so small.
Yeah, jeez. Well, I guess the Volkswagen would have to be the first choice, but the Mini...
And it's
would,
a tradition. I mean,
the Mini would be more dramatic.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, try them both.
And you know what you actually could do, which would maybe work better, is an old Volkswagen.
Oh, I just had a funny idea. When we go into a town, we'll get a local car dealer to sponsor us and loan us a car.
That's right.
Yeah, and then you rip the insides out of it. Tell them to come and get it because it doesn't run anymore.
But an old Beetle with flowers painted on it and whatnot.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
That would be it. That would be my first choice.
And hippie clowns.
Exactly right.
Now, one idea that we tossed around was to actually have the car drive around the perimeter of the rings, the three circus rings, but would a little go-kart motor have enough oomph to do that?
Well, maybe, sure.
It certainly doesn't need the engine that's in it.
Right.
No, in fact,
you're going to start doing some work here.
Much more complicated.
Well, you might be able to...
You could put a bicycle pedal in it.
Right.
You could get it to move by putting a chain And bicycle pedals inside.
Oh, yeah. Or just this.
Sure, I mean, you only have to.
Board and do it Fred Flintstone.
If somebody gave you a shove to get started.
Yeah.
And you had bicycle pedals in there,
mm-hmm.
you'd move to go. I mean, you wouldn't go very far, but you could do it.
That's a good idea, too.
Yeah.
It sounds simpler. I like that.
Yeah, there are other ways you could do it. You could actually do it with a small electric motor, too.
Mm-hmm. But, that's good, yeah.
You know, that would take up precious room.
We could become circus consultants here.
I thought you were.
I like it.
are there any openings?
For you, always.
We love cutting up cars.
Well, we may be in the Boston area soon, so we'll look.
Oh, you are?
Oh, call us. We'll let you use the torch.
Yeah.
Greg, good luck. And I would try to find an old Beetle.
Uh-huh. Oxyacetylene are us.
Yeah, an old Beetle and cut that thing up, and you might be able to even do Fred Flintstone power.
Yeah.
Flintstone power would be good, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
That would be perfect.
I think that's the best bet.
Much simpler.
Well, good luck. If you need more help, don't hesitate to call.
Okay, thanks.
See you later.
Yeah.
Bye.
Good luck.
Oh, that's going to be fun. Well, it's happened again. You've wasted yet another. Another. Don't ever stop to count them. But you've wasted yet another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk.
Over a lifetime, you could waste a lifetime.
Think how many we've wasted. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy, Punkin' Lips, a Frog Man, cute Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman, and our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from his triumphant rematch at the Trenton Transmission Rebuilders Tapas Entangled Tournament, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge Novera. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our in-house literary critic is Al Ligori.
Oh.
Al Ligori, very good. Our director of allergy research is Teresa Pollinating. Director of roadway resurfacing is Sylvia Potholy. And our air traffic controller, of course, is Yolanda Ulucky. Our sexual harassment investigator is Hank Pankey. Our New York-based dispute settlement coordinator is You Talking to Me. Our meteorologist from the New Delhi
office. You Talking to Me?
Is Luke out of window. Our Elvis impersonator from the Cairo office is Amal Shukup. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. And our seat cushion tester is Mike Easter. Our chief counsel, of course, from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe, is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the Ben Affleck wannabes in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
And if I forgot to mention it, don't drive,
like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1521, download other time-wasting episodes, and check out our clothing and best-of collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, lots of shows to download.
Yeah, remember, if you ever miss our show unintentionally,
of course,
you can always grab the podcast at cartalk.com.
Or download a previous show.
Sure, if you've got a root canal coming up and want to divert the pain to your ears, get access to our free Car Talk podcast and years of cheap downloads anytime you want over at cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Stephen Hawking finds himself at a loss to explain our existence in an ordered universe whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.